For the studios of Books in Motion, this is Cameron Byerly reading The Red Horse by Lauren Robinson, book number 6 of the Expedition series. We begin with the foreword. Power was given to him who sat on the red horse to take peace from the earth, and there was given to him a great sword. Revelation 6, verse 4. In 2008, Commander James Parker flew as an astronaut for NASA. On a routine flight to check a satellite, his spaceship entered what appeared to be a fog. When it exited a short time later, he returned to Earth in 1803. With no way to return home, he joined a trapper on the Mississippi, and Jim soon found himself on the Lewis and Clark expedition. When the Corps disbanded 3 years later in St. Louis, Parker decided to stay in the growing city. He knew the future, married Amanda, and had a son, and became one of the richest men in the territory. But a smallpox epidemic took his family and sent Jim into a deep depression. He gave away all of his riches and rode out onto the prairie, hoping for a war party to kill him. But the Indians were superstitious about a solitary rider who showed no fear, and they sent word ahead not to kill the lone wanderer. In a winter blizzard, Parker was saved from freezing by a mountain man called Kit Carson, and he became a trapper for a time. In time, he realized that he was not aging, due to a physiological effect in the space cloud. He would remain 35 years old. Jim considered this a curse and a blessing. He could not stay long in any one place, but he could help the tribe prepare for the future. Chapter 1. In November of 1864, Mark Barkley, Special Services in the War Department, was sent to Fort Lyon, Colorado, to report on a meeting between the government and two tribes, the Cheyenne and the Arapaho. With the war in the East now in favor of the North, Barkley thought he could take a better look at the Indian problem. His brown hair had thinned since the war had begun, making him look older than his 35 years. However, his posture was straight and muscular. He had feared the warring tribes would take advantage of the Civil War when a large number of cavalry troops left to fight in the East. Each fort was now, at best, at half strength. So far, the biggest problem was in Colorado Territory, where the treaty had been broken by settlers and miners invading Indian lands. The resulting raids on farms, wagon trains, supply stations, and the settlements led to cries for revenge. Barkley knew a better man than he for this meeting, but he had already sent Jim Parker on another mission. Parker knew the Indians, had lived with them, and they respected him. He was known to the tribes as the man who could not die. The Plains Indians had called him the Lone Wanderer. The tribes along the Missouri labeled him White Chief of the Mandan. However, the captain was only to be an observer and report back to Washington. About 800 Indians, led by Cheyenne Chief Black Kettle, were meeting with the territorial governor, John Evans, military Civil War hero Colonel John Shivington, and other officers on the fort grounds. A young interpreter told Barkley what was being said. Black Kettle wanted peace and brought his people along with the Arapaho to surrender. They were willing to go to Oklahoma under military protection. Evans and Shivington agreed, and the colonel told Black Kettle there was a good place to camp along Sand Creek. Although Barkley wore a heavy coat,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?